Hey everybody, it's Chris. Welcome or welcome back to the Beyond Church podcast. Hey, at the end of this conversation, would you do me a favor and would you head to our social media? It's at Beyond Church AU on Facebook or Instagram and give us a follow. This is the easiest way to share this content with a friend. And hey, while you're at it, one of the easiest ways to stay up to date on everything that's happening here at Beyond is either to subscribe to our email newsletter, and you can do that by clicking the link in our description below. And we really hope that this following conversation helps you take your best next step on your faith journey. Enjoy. So we are kicking off this new series, Starting Point, and it's also it's kind of cool we're kicking off this series, Starting Point, because it's also a little bit of a starting point for us as a church today. It's kind of a little bit of a new chapter that we're jumping into, because we are transitioning our 6 p.m. So we used to have a 6 p.m. experience, but we're transitioning that in order to rebuild it, in order to make it more targeted to youth and young adults. And so if you're looking around this morning, you're like, there are some people here I don't recognize. They would have been hanging out at our 6 p.m. And so now we've kind of got everyone all together at our 10 a.m. And so it's kind of a little bit of a starting point for us as a church today. But also what's true is, as you saw in the video, everything has a starting point, right? Like everything in life has a starting point. You had a starting point. Some of you are like, I'd prefer not to think about that. Some of you were started were a surprise when you were started, and that's great. We're so glad you're here. Some of you were planned for a very long time. Some of you are here by the miracle of modern science, right? Some of you, your starting point was modern science, and everything has a starting point. Your romance had a starting point. You know, there was that time where there was that awkward glance, or someone slid into your DMs and you started a conversation, and then all of a sudden you started dating and you got married, and then maybe you've got kids now. But everything has a journey. Some of you actually might have even found out that your starting point was different to what you thought. I know Emma and I were married for about 3 or 4 years when we realized, hang on a minute, we actually met years and years ago at a football game where she was sitting in front of me and she bumped my knee and she turned around and she said, sorry. And I looked at her and I said, don't do that again. and now here we are, we're married. And so everything has a starting point. Your career had a starting point. Maybe you went to a university, you started a job, and then that began a series of events that led you to where you're at on your career. Your hobbies have a starting point. Your parenting has a starting point. And sometimes we forget that also faith has a starting point. And for a lot of us, faith, or the version of faith that we have, whether you have faith, whether you don't have faith, whether you're kind of just somewhere in between, you're not sure where you sit on faith, that journey began for us in childhood. And it more than likely began in childhood where someone kind of handed us some building blocks. Or at the time, we wouldn't have thought of them as building blocks, but someone handed you, maybe a parent or a grandparent or someone you went to school with or a trusted friend, kind of started to talk about spirituality. They started to talk about faith. Or maybe they didn't talk about faith. And so you started to kind of have these building blocks for this way in which that you understand faith. And maybe one of the starting points for you when it came to faith was this idea that, hey, God is good. And you didn't really know what that meant. Maybe if you grew up in a Christian household or a faith-based household, someone was like, hey, God is good. And you're like, okay, like, is that part of the prayer we say before we eat? Like, God is good, God is great, dig in, don't wait. It was just like, let's just jump in. Maybe another one of the starting points that you had for faith was that God rewards good but punishes evil. And so you better be a good little boy, or you better be a good little girl. Why? Because, well, God rewards good and punishes evil, and you want to be good, right? Maybe another one of the starting points you had for faith, particularly if you're a Christian, you grew up in a Christian framework, is that God answers your prayers. And so you can talk to God and you can share what's on your heart or what's on your mind with God, because God is going to answer your prayers. And definitely if you grew up in a Christian household, you might have heard the idea that, hey, God speaks. God talks. Maybe not audibly, but God speaks through his word. God speaks through people. You can kind of get the Holy Spirit, you know, get that nudge. And so maybe you began to kind of have these building blocks that you grew up through life with, and you started to put this idea of faith together. But a lot of us know, right, and if you've never gone through this, then you are just so fortunate, right? But a lot of us know that then something begins to happen, right? We like start to grow up, and we start to go from childhood into adulthood, and then life starts to happen to us, and we go through some disappointments, we go through some setbacks, and all of a sudden, maybe those Bible stories you grew up listening to, those Bible stories you're like so in love with, and that church and that faith you were so excited by and you were so energized by, all of a sudden something started to chip away at that. And you started to move into adulthood and you started to kind of feel like that the framework you were handed as a child, it just wasn't built to survive the rigors and the pressures of adulthood. Right? Because maybe you kind of had that building block, and maybe one of the building blocks, like we said, was God is good. And then you lost the job. And then, no matter how hard you studied, no matter how hard you tried, you just didn't get that opportunity. And you started to look at some of the things that were happening in your life or maybe in the lives of those around you, and you started to go, I don't really know if God is as good as maybe I think. Or maybe there's that idea that, hey, like God rewards good people but punishes evil people. And then you started to look at the world and you started to go, there's a lot of people getting away with a lot of stuff. Like, there's a lot of people getting away with a lot of stuff that I would kind of think's evil. And if God's really against that, why doesn't God do something? And then I do my little bit of good, and then I still get in trouble. Like things in my life don't fall the way that I want them to fall. Like, what's the deal with that? And maybe you're frustrated, or maybe you started to pray, and you prayed, 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 and maybe you're still praying for Mr. and Mrs. Wright. Right? Maybe you prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed for that diagnosis, or for him, or for her, or for your parents, and they still passed away. And then you're left there and you're going, well, hang on a minute, if God answers prayers, why didn't God answer mine? What happened to that? Like, and you're kind of getting through life and it's faith is not measuring up. Or maybe you kind of heard like, hey, God speaks. And you looked around and you're like, I don't know who he's speaking to, but he's certainly not speaking to me. Like, I haven't heard. I've been asking all these questions and I've still got a whole bunch of questions. God's just not speaking to me. And really, one of the big reasons that we exist as a church, like it's kind of baked into our DNA, is that we just believe that when it comes to being an adult, when it comes to living in Australia, that for a lot of us, like, we need a new starting point, right? We need a new starting point for faith, because if we grew up in church, or maybe we grew up on the fringes of spirituality, often the starting point we handled, even if we want to believe in God, even if we have questions about spirituality, for a lot of us, we go back and we revisit and we're like, if that's the place I've got to start, I don't know if I buy it. I don't know if I want to start there. If that's the place I have to start, I don't know if I can believe that's true. And so what we want to do throughout this series is we want to hit restart. Okay, and for a couple of weeks, we're going to hit restart and we're going to answer just one big question, which is this. If we didn't know anything about Christianity, where would we start? Right? If you'd never heard of the Bible, if you'd never heard of church, if you'd never heard of prayer, if you'd never heard of any of those things, like, where would we start when it comes to faith? And where would we start when it comes to making sense of faith? And my hope with this series is that maybe you would learn something. For those of you who have been Christians a while, maybe you'd learn something. Maybe this would challenge you. Maybe there would be some things that we talk about that make you a little bit uncomfortable, because that's always good to be a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe throughout this series, we would also hear some things you're like, oh, I've heard that before. That's awesome. It just kind of refreshes you. But here's my hope, is that it would put something in the gap for those of you who are at a point in life where you're like, I just feel like my faith isn't as strong as I would like it to be. Or maybe for those of you who are exploring spirituality, you've got questions, I just want to give you a new starting point, something that you could start and it would build a faith that actually survives the rigors and the pressures of adulthood. And if you're someone right here and you're like, you know what, my faith is good, I'm rock solid, I'm great, that is awesome. I hope that this series gives you some tools that you can talk to your friends or your family or your coworkers about, because I guarantee there is someone in your world who is struggling with these questions. And so what I hope is this series would do is it would give you some language to be able to have conversations with them as well. And so really, what we're almost going to do is a little bit like the original Men in Black, right? I'm a millennial, okay, I haven't seen the new Men in Black with Chris Hemsworth and the other person. I just know Chris Hemsworth because he's Thor, right? He's really good. I'm like, oh, that's Chris Hemsworth in a suit. He's really good looking still. And I just think of like the original Men in Black with Will Smith, where it's like, could you just stare into this? And it's like, boom. So what if we were to wake up? What if we were to restart and we had no idea? Maybe some of us would kind of go, oh, okay, well, Chris, that's easy. Like, the place that I would start is I would just say, well, the Bible says. And maybe some of you are like, oh, no, we're not starting there, Chris. Okay, because that's where I started originally. right before I had my mind zapped by Will Smith, okay? And that's where it led me to lose my job. It led me to lose my faith. Like, Chris, here's the thing. I saw what the Bible says, and then I found out what else the Bible says. And then I started to have questions. Then I started to have doubts. Then I wasn't sure about the whole thing. And depends on who you are and to how this news hits you. But here's the good news for some of you. Here's the reassuring news for others of you. Here's the just straight up challenging news for some of you as well, is that the Bible says it was never intended to be the starting point of the Christian faith. Right? And if you've been around Beyond for any length of time, that doesn't surprise you that something like that's up on the screen. In fact, you've heard me say this before. I think the way that we, even just the language when we talk about the Bible is a little bit problematic, or can be problematic, because we talk about the Bible as if it's a book, but it's not a book. It's a collection of 66 documents that were written by over 30 authors, compiled over a couple of thousand years. And there's all sorts of different literature in this library. There's poetry, there's history, there's sorts of what a genre called apocalyptic literature. There's also ancient biographies. We have four of them that have survived antiquity that are written about the life of Jesus. And if you're just someone who maybe you resist the Bible, you kind of push back against the whole idea of the Bible, here's what you need to know, is the collection of documents that Christians now call the Bible didn't exist until about 350 years after the life of Jesus. In fact, for the first 250 years of the Jesus movement, there wasn't even such a thing as the New Testament. Like, no one even used that kind of language, which is kind of interesting, because what it means is that for 250 years, Christians were gathering together, Christians were praying, the church was growing, but no one said the Bible says. No one pointed a finger and said, you better believe, or you better do, or you better behave, because the Bible says. Now, just to be clear, there was a lot of activity. There was a lot of letters being written. There was a lot of people coming to find and follow Jesus. In fact, these Christians, these people had more faith than any of us had. Okay, the stories that you hear about, the things these people did, it dwarfs our faith in the 21st century. But when they got together, and when they prayed, and when they were the church together, they didn't open the Bible. And that kind of begs the question, doesn't it? Like, what was their starting point? Like, what? Like, if our starting point sometimes is the Bible, what was theirs? Because for hundreds of years, it wasn't the Bible. And if I'm being honest, many of us in this room, we need a new starting point. And we need their starting point when it comes to faith. And so what I want to do in the few moments that we have remaining this morning is I want us to listen in on a conversation that happened between a guy called Paul and some people in the city of Athens, Greece. Now, before you kind of get all up in arms, you're like, Chris, you're going to go to the Bible, okay? I knew you were going to do this. You're going to open the Bible. You just said they didn't have the Bible in the first 200 years, and now you're going to reference the Bible. Okay, let me just clarify as best I can. What I want you to imagine when we're looking at this conversation is, I don't want you to imagine we're reading the Bible, okay? Because really, honestly, when it was first written, when Luke wrote this down, because Luke was a first century doctor, and he was a traveling companion of this guy called Paul, and Paul would go all around the Mediterranean rim starting these brand new churches. And Luke wrote this travel journal of his encounters with Paul and his journeys with Paul and the interactions and the conversations we had with Paul. And let me tell you, when Luke was writing this down, Luke wasn't thinking to himself, I'm writing the Bible, and people in thousands and thousands of years are going to read this, and it's going to be so awesome, and everyone's going to know my name, and they're going to know what we did, and they're going to... Luke wasn't thinking that at all, okay? Luke was just thinking to himself, I'm writing down what is happening. I'm writing down what I'm seeing. I'm writing down what I'm experiencing. And then years and years and years later, this document would be collected with other documents and put together in what we now know as the Bible. And the document, the travel journal that Luke wrote, would be called the document of Acts, or the book of Acts. But when it was first written, Luke wasn't intending it to be in the Bible. He was just writing this travel journal. And so this is what Luke writes. He shares this story that Paul had. It says, when Paul was waiting for them in Athens, because he was waiting for some of his traveling companions to come up, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. And so what he did, he went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there. And this wasn't like weird, okay? This wasn't like one of those people like at Queen Street Mall or in the middle of North Lakes coming up to you like, do you have a minute to talk about Jesus? Can I tell you about Jesus? Like, have you heard of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Okay, Paul was not that sort of weirdo, right? Because this was Athens. This was the intellectual capital of the world. This is the home of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates and all their sorts of students. And where all these people would go is they would go to the public square. And it was almost this understanding of, hey, if I go to the public square, the reason I'm going is to talk about ideas, to talk about philosophies, to have my mind challenged and my thoughts challenged. And so Paul went there very, very deliberately to have these conversations. Excuse me. And he also, while he was there, he debated with some of the Epicurean and the Stoic philosophers. And the Epicureans, they were kind of the people who sort of said, look, life's short. You only live it once. Have some more wine. It's going to be fun. Kick back. Don't take it too seriously. The Stoics, these were kind of the people who were like, if we figure this out, if we think hard enough about this, we can figure everything out. Okay, we can figure this all out. And so he starts kind of having conversations with them. And some of them say this. They say, hey, what's this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he's picked up? Because they're trying to make sense of what Paul's talking about. Like, it's completely new to them. And others respond. They're like, hey, let us chime in on this. He seems to be preaching about some foreign gods. Right, they're not our gods, they're not local gods, it's got to be some foreign god. And the reason they said this is because Paul was preaching the good news about the resurrection of Jesus. And what happens in a moment is they take Paul and they take him to kind of, the best way I could describe it is the city council. Because in a city like Athens at that time in history, whenever a new idea was introduced, it had to be vetted through the city council. Because anytime you introduced a new idea into a city like Athens, it could lead to civil unrest, it could lead to people pushing back, it could lead to all sorts of arguments, and the rulers didn't want to lose control. And so they said, hey, we need to go to the city council and we need to talk about this. And so they said, come, tell us about this new teaching, they said. You are saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's all about. In other words, we got some questions for you, Paul. And they took Paul to this hill. It's called Mars Hill. It still exists. It's in the city of Athens today. In fact, this is a picture of me, very Euro, very Instagram-able. But this is me actually standing on Mars Hill. And this is them overlooking the public square where they would have had this conversation with Paul. And then I don't have a picture of this, but then towering up to the right would have been the Temple of Artemis. And this city council would meet on this hill. And they called it Mars Hill because of Greek mythology, because the Greeks believed that on this hill, this is where Ares got tried for the murder of, I think it was Poseidon's son. So one of the Greek gods, it was definitely Ares got tried. I think it was Poseidon's son, he got tried for the murder of it. So they called it Mars Hill. And so Paul comes, and the reason I'm kind of belaboring this point, the reason I'm showing you this photo is because I don't want you to think this is another Bible story. I want to show you, hey, this was a real conversation that happened in a real place. You can go there, you can look at it today, between real people. And this is the conversation that took place. They said, hey, you're saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's all about. Which is really incredible, because just 20 years after the life of Jesus, 20 years after the life of Jesus, Paul has gone to a group of people who know nothing about Jesus. And they've effectively said, hey, could you give us a starting point? Could you give us a place where we could start? Because we have no understanding. We've got no background. We have no idea who this Jesus guy is. Where do we start? And Paul explains to them. He says, well, people of Athens, I actually noticed you're very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your shrines. And so Paul's starting point is to go, actually, hey, we have something in common. And the thing that we have in common is we believe that there's something more to life than just this life. We believe that there's something going on. Like, I've walked around, I've seen your city. You believe in gods just like I believe in a god. Like, we all believe there's something more to life than just this life. In fact, he says, as I was walking along, I saw one of your altars, and it actually said an inscription to an unknown god. Which is kind of funny. He's making a little bit of fun. He's like, come on. Like, what's going to happen? Like, a god's going to rock up one day? And it's going to be like, surprise, I'm the God. And you guys are going to like, oh, we've been expecting you. We just didn't know your name. Come right over here to our altar to the unknown God. Paul's like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you don't know and that I don't know. And so he goes, I want to point you to something bigger. He says, this God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm going to tell you about. He goes, I want to take this unknown and make him known. And he begins this way. He says, he's the God who made the world and everything in it. He's not part of the pantheon of gods. He's not one of the Greek gods, or the Roman gods, the Mesopotamian gods, the Babylonian gods. No, he's the God who made the world and everything in it. And since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. And he could have turned to this massive, massive big temple and said he doesn't live in places like this. Like, it's cool, it's cute, it's really nice that you made it. But the God I'm talking about, he doesn't live in a place like this. In fact, human hands can't serve his needs because he doesn't have any needs. Instead, here's what this God does. He gives life and he gives breath to everything and he satisfies every need. And he goes, let me make it a little bit more specific for you. He says, from one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. In other words, he's saying, hey, this God is not just a God that's like unique to Greece. It's not a God that's unique to Rome. It's not a God that's just looking after his people. He said, the God that I'm telling you about is a God that is for all people at all times, where boundaries and geography doesn't constrain that God. He goes, God's purpose was for the nations to seek after him and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. And this is the idea. I don't know if you've ever done this, but you come home at night and you forget to leave the lights on at home and you open the door and then you're kind of like feeling for like the light and you're like, I know it's there. Or you like turn the light off in the kitchen and you walk to the bedroom and then somehow you kind of get like just like 5 or 10 centimeters off course. And so when you...
Well, hey everyone. No, you haven't bumped something. Your car hasn't played up. However you listen to this podcast, we had a little bit of a technical glitch on Sunday, which meant that was the point we got to in the message. And so we're right at the point where we're talking about this idea that what Paul is sort of saying is it's kind of like trying to fumble when you're trying to think about God and fumbling for the light switch. And so what I wanted to do is I just wanted to jump on here and give you a special podcast kind of wrap up of that part of the conversation, because right after Paul says that, he actually quotes something to the people who are he's sharing with at this high council or this city council, and he doesn't quote them the Bible. In fact, he leverages one of their own poets who said to him that who he quoted back and said, we are his offspring, talking about this idea that the Greeks believe that, hey, we're from God, or we're created by the gods. And everyone's kind of nodding. They're saying, yeah, that makes sense. And Paul said, well, since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. And he's trying to get them to see, hey, come on, if the gods you talk about are as big and as powerful as you make them out to be, then simply kind of crafting some sort of image of them really can't begin to make sense of how big they are. Like, if all you can do is craft a little image, that's actually a really tiny God. That's a God that can be manipulated. That's a God that can be bent to your will. And that's not God at all. And then he says this. He says, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent. And remember, he's talking to this group of people who he's saying, hey, in the last 20 years, really recently, God has done something in the world for the world. And as a result, he wants you to know about this. And that word that Paul uses there, repent, perhaps you think of sin. Actually, the Greek word that Paul uses in that context is metanomia, which actually is about knowledge. And he says, hey, I want you to think in a new direction, right? Up until this point in the conversation, Paul hasn't mentioned sin. And so that word repent isn't linked to sin in this context that Paul's talking about. He's saying, hey, I want you to think about this in a fresh way. Effectively, like, I want you to have a new starting point for where it comes for you thinking about faith. And then, of course, the council is kind of like asking the question, okay, well, that's great, Paul, but what is this God that you're talking about done? And Paul says this, for he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, which is Jesus. Paul's kind of been talking about this earlier in Acts, and so the council had kind of an idea. And then he says this, he says, and he's proved. In other words, God's given us proof that Jesus is who he claimed to be, that this God-man has the ability, he has the justice, he has the wisdom to be able to judge the world. And this is particularly important. It would have been important for the Greeks, but it's also important for us. If you kind of think that faith is just something you can't have evidence for, or something that, you know, you just got to kind of take by a gut feel, Paul's saying when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to Jesus, that's not the case. Paul says the proof that he's given us is that he has raised him, Jesus, from the dead. And maybe Paul would add into that context, you know, and I don't know this from reading a book, right? I know this because I've seen him risen from the dead. Or maybe he would say, I know this because I've interacted with eyewitnesses who have also seen this as well. And then what's really, really interesting is when they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, here's what Paul says happened, that some laughed in contempt. Now, if this was just simply a Bible story, right, if this was something that Paul had made up, the way this would have ended is that everyone would have begun following Jesus. Everyone would have started worshiping Jesus. The entire city of Athens would have been converted. But in fact, it's kind of funny that Luke actually records that people's reactions was they laughed. And in a contemptible way, they thought that Paul was really, really ludicrous and really, really stupid, some of the things he was saying. Like, in fact, some people kind of looked at this and goes, Paul, if that's the starting point, if this Jesus guy is the starting point, we're not going to start. But what's interesting is Luke also records that, but others said, we want to hear more about this later. And so Paul left the council at that part, but most of the people who heard that kind of go, that's ridiculous, we're not getting on. But there was a few people who said, we're not sure if we're willing to believe, but we want to go back and we want to revisit this a little bit later. A few people were kind of like, so hang on a minute, this happened in Judea? You're telling me you know people who saw this, that I could go and visit them if I wanted to? And here's where this leads us to, is that the starting point for the Christian faith is actually not the Bible. It's not just belief. It's not, you know, did they put all the animals in the ark, or was there really an ark, or was there a massive exodus out of Egypt, or, you know, was the world created in 7 literal days or over a bunch of millions of years? Those things are interesting. Like, you should talk about them. You should have conversations about them, but they're not the starting point of the Christian faith, and Paul never pointed them. In fact, the starting point of the Christian faith, honestly, is actually a question. And the question is simply this: who is Jesus? That is the question. That will always be the question. That is the question to ask if you're starting faith, if you're restarting faith. It's also the question to ask if you're looking to maintain your faith. It will always come back to that question. And here's what's really, really important, is that question is supposed to lead to something. And what it's supposed to lead to is a conversation. It's supposed to lead to a conversation. That's what happened when Paul shared this story and he challenged this group of people. Hey, you need to answer this question. Who is Jesus? The people who wanted to engage, they began to engage in a dialogue with Paul, a conversation with Paul. And so here's what I'd say to you. If you listen to this and maybe you've grown up in a church that you didn't feel like you could ask questions, or maybe you asked questions, but maybe you got shut down, you didn't feel like anyone took your questions seriously, I just want you to know that here at Beyond, we really do want to take those questions seriously. That our goal is not to point the finger at you and give you the right answer, but our goal is to be involved in a conversation. And a conversation over maybe some uncomfortable topics. Maybe some topics that, you know, we don't have all the answers for. But this question, who is Jesus, it should lead to a conversation. And it's a conversation I want to invite you into, and I want to invite you back to. And it's not a one-off conversation. In fact, this question of who is Jesus leads to an ongoing conversation that we, all of us, need to be asking constantly throughout our life. And so we actually left it there on Sunday. We sort of said, hey, that's enough. Just ask that question, who is Jesus? And then we're going to continue this conversation as we continue this series. And hey, if you weren't there on Sunday, I'd love to invite you personally along as we continue the conversation of Starting Point. As we jump into part two, I'll let you know that we're going to be looking at a term in particular that, depending on your experience with Christianity, depending on your experience with faith, it might have been a term that didn't leave the best taste in your mouth, but we are going to come to terms with that particular term in part two. And we're going to wrestle it to the ground, and spoiler alert, it might not be what you thought it was designed to do. It might not lead you to the places it was you think it's going to lead you. And so I'd love to invite you to be a part of that conversation, or if you're listening online, to just listen along to part two of our conversation of Starting Point. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to the Beyond Church podcast. If you live in the Griffin, Murrumba Downs, Kalanga, North Lakes, or Mango Hill region, I'd love to invite you to engage with us at one of our physical environments. And the easiest way to find out service times and the environment that might be best for you is to head to beyondchurch.com.au. And there you'll also find out information about our Upstreet Kids Club, which is our primary school aged environment. And while you're there, there is also a Next Step tab, because all of us are on a journey and we just want to help you discover your best next step on your faith journey, whatever that may be. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in once again, and we will see you next time on the Beyond Church podcast.